Celtics fall apart in the fourth quarter and now one game away from losing in the NBA Finals. Ime Udoka said something I've never heard him say before, and that's not good. I'm going to talk about it right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked On number 18, Tatum and Brown, J team, step back. We gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's, how I started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked On Celtics pod, home of the winners.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. I'm here for you every day, minus that one day I had the technical difficulties, every day through the NBA Finals. And those NBA Finals might end on Thursday, so this might just go back to being a Monday through Friday podcast pretty quickly after the Boston Celtics lose Game 5 to the Warriors here in San Francisco at the Chase Center and put themselves on the brink. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. I've written a book called Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, and I was one of the media voters for the Celtics 75th anniversary team. I'm over here. If you're watching the show on YouTube, the show is free, available everywhere you get your podcasts, and it's on YouTube. I'm here at the Chase Center floor. This might be the last time I'm standing on the Chase Center floor after the Celtics Game 5 loss. Came out just god-awful, just brutal in the first quarter. It looked like a team that was just, I don't know, disinterested, flat, whatever it was. They were just not playing well. Made up some of the ground in the second quarter. They hung around. They were still, you know, okay, but they hung around. Third quarter, all of a sudden, they out-Warriors the Warriors in the third quarter. Just blowing the doors off of them, taking a lead. And, you know, Al Horford hits a three-pointer. And if you're looking on YouTube, like right over my left shoulder, he stands there at half court. And he's like pumping his fist to the crowd. I've never seen him that animated before. Celtics take a lead. But the Warriors did a good job of just hanging around in that third quarter, taking the punches. And this is where I say the Celtics are very much showing themselves to be a team that's never been here before, while the Warriors very much showing themselves to be the team that has recently hung these championship banners that I look up at. There are guys on the floor that have raised these banners, and the Celtics, they're playing underneath the shadows of the past. They are playing for something. They're trying to be part of something, but they haven't been part of raising any banners. You can see that on the floor here. They came out in that third quarter and they hit just what you would expect for a team knowing that they had to win this Game 5. Both teams come in here, you know, they feel like they've got to win Game 5. And the Celtics, down at the half, know that in the third quarter, you got to come out. You can't let the Warriors come out and do their thing in the third quarter. So they come out. The Celtics come out strong. Tatum comes out strong. Jaylen comes out strong. They put up, I forget what the run was. It was like 19-4 at one point. And you start to feel that momentum. But unlike a lot of those Warriors third quarters where the Celtics would just kind of wilt, Klay Thompson hits just these timely threes, these clutch. You guys know what I say when I talk about clutch baskets. It's not just last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. I'll say this all the time. It's just not that. It's when the Celtics were making their run in the third, it's the basket that stops that run from becoming out of control, keeping the Warriors close. Celtics get a few baskets together. Here comes Klay again. Celtics get a few baskets together. Here comes, you know, Jordan Poole. You know, they never let the Celtics' third quarter run get out of control. And what happens in that third quarter, at the end of the third quarter, Poole gets that buzzer beater, gets it off. It's off his fingertips at point one, and they end up getting into the fourth quarter with a lead. And now that gives the Warriors momentum. They feel like they've got life. Now they make their run and the Celtics completely fall apart. The Celtics get caught up in the officiating. And you can sit here and say, well, the officiating was bad for the Celtics. I'm sure Warriors fans are going to sit there and say, well, it was bad on both sides. And I'm not going to get into that. I know there were a couple of bad calls. I know that the Marcus Smart, one of the Klay Thompson threes where Klay definitely extended the arm. That's generally an offensive foul. Smart goes flying. He tries to sell the call, doesn't get the call. That's bad. That should have been an offensive foul, but hey, they didn't call it. And Klay hits the three. At the end, when Jordan Poole hits that shot, the entire Celtics bench, I've never seen this before from the Celtics bench, Ime at half court staring at one of the officials, might have been Tony Brothers, staring in two or three different conversations are going on. You've got five or six Celtics and Ime, and I think they were upset about a potential trip that, you know, Tatum was tripped on the sideline. That didn't get called. Jaylen might have been fouled in his shot. That didn't get called. So everybody's worked up about that. That pool shot was such a game changer because not only did it give the Warriors life and they had that momentum going into the fourth and they made their run going into the fourth, it was the string on the sweater that the Warriors could pull and have the whole thing unravel. Because that's where the Celtics lost their cool with the refs. They really lost their cool there. And then Ime had already had a technical, and you could see it's almost like he wanted to get tossed. Marcus picks up a technical, and he doesn't understand why he picks up the technical. All of that stuff starts cascading, where the Warriors in the third quarter show themselves to have that resolve. The Celtics in the fourth quarter show that they don't. And that's the difference in this game. And if you read my preview on Boston Sports Journal, if you heard me talk in the crossover preview, I've mentioned this before the series started. My biggest fear coming into the series is the Warriors' experience versus the Celtics' youth inexperience. And that's, I think this game is where it really, really, really showed itself. The Warriors had that poise. The Celtics did not. The Celtics very much ride the wave. And I think under the spotlight of the finals, where everything is different, everything here is different. I can't begin to express to you how different this is. You don't practice at the practice facility. You practice on the floor because there's so much media that it has to be accommodated in a certain way. And normally when the Celtics practice at their practice facility, there's Ime talks afterwards. Two players talk, you get 3-4 minutes with the player, and then that's it. There might be some opportunities for one-on-ones, but generally those tend to, you know, go away. And that's it. That's the end of your obligations. Over here, every player is available. Everybody talks after practice. And not only do you talk at the podium, you get pulled away for different conversations here or there. There are guys all over the stands being pulled away. There's just different. The routine is different. Your obligations are different. And that whole thing adds up to just a complete, the spotlight is different. You can tell when the guys are warming up on the court. If you're watching on YouTube, behind me on the other side of this floor is generally, there's a stage where NBA TV or ESPN or somebody is doing a pregame show. And the guys are warming up. And there's like a freaking studio behind them. So all of these things are different. That's where the poise and the ability to handle yourself, when all of these things are different, when the spotlight is so different, that's where you need that experience. And the Celtics, everything's different and they're not handling it well. After the game, Ime said something I'd never heard him say before. And I'm going to explain to you why. That does not bode well, but we'll see if the Celtics can kind of overcome that. First, let's talk about Arcade 1-Up and NBA Jam. I'm so excited for this. NBA Jam is back. Arcade 1-Up, the leader in home retro arcade games, not only bringing back seriously the best game ever. I spent a lot of money on NBA Jam. I'm still probably in the hole considering all my lifetime money that I've spent on NBA Jam. And it's back with a bigger than ever Shaq edition machine. People are obsessed with NBA Jam. I am thrilled to tell you that you can once again play hoops with NBA legends in this arcade classic. You can jump clear across the court. You know what it means. You know, set the ball on fire, hit those three shots in a row. It's one of the first games ever to feature real digitized NBA licensed teams. No fouls, no free throws, no quarters required in this one. Compete with your friends and family through all new Wi-Fi leaderboards, making you more connected than ever. Pre-order the game now at arcade1up.com. It's arcade, the number one, up.com. For an estimated early September ship date, Arcade 1UP is the place for fun. They've got even more classes like Golden Tee, Mortal Kombat, and others starting at just $399. And you can check this out. They're giving away NBA Jam Shaq Edition to a Locked On listener. Enter for a chance to win a game console for your man cave at arcade1up.com/lockedon. That's arcade, the number one, up.com/lockedon. You've got till July 8th to enter to win the NBA Jam Shaq Edition console. I wish I could enter this so badly, but I can't. Don't miss out. Enter today. Who are you going to play with? Me. Play with me. Thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. How about making the Locked On NBA mock draft your second listen? It starts June 16th. That's soon, a couple days from now. With over 50 insiders, nothing equals the ultimate NBA mock draft. Locked On NBA Big Board Draft Experts plus Odyssey Insiders. First pick, June 16th. Search Ultimate Mock Draft. Follow now so you do not miss a pick. After the game, Ime Udoka comes in to the media room, and it's very obvious how pissed he is. He is very upset. He is not happy. frustrated. However you want to term it, he is just not his normal self. When the Celtics were down 3-2 to the Milwaukee Bucks, Ime came in and sat down. He was like upbeat. He was like, yeah, you know, this is an opportunity. You know, we can do something special. He very much was selling to us this, hey, we're okay. We're fine. And he was right. When he came into the media room, comes in, sits down, just, you know, when you're pissed off and you sit down hard, you just come in, boom, sit down. He did that. And I was like, okay, this is Ime. Ime's a little upset. Totally, totally get why. And then he was asked about the first quarter, and why the Celtics start slow. Well, first of all, he normally answers in a very thoughtful way. He'll, you know, take the question and he'll give his answer. And normally it's like 3, 4, 5 sentences. He's very rarely been a one sentence kind of guy. His first answer was one sentence. And you're like, okay, he's still pissed. He's still processing. And then he gets to the question about the first quarter, and three times in his answer, he says, it's hard to explain. Hard to explain that first quarter. And I've never heard him say the words, it's hard to explain. I've never heard him say anything is hard to explain. He's explained everything that's happened during the course of the season. So when I hear him say, it's hard to explain, Now I'm a little bit, I don't know, not worried necessarily. I'm not sitting there saying like, shaking about, you know, oh, he's, this is it, it's over, forget it. But it's a very markedly different tone, and it's not a good tone from Ime, where he's like, if he's saying it's hard to explain, then he has no idea. How did the Celtics come out in the first quarter and fall behind the way they did and look so bad? He doesn't know. He has no clue. He didn't, you know, the lack of aggression, the stagnant offense. when Ime, like Ime has always exuded a level of confidence with this team. This is the first time where I saw him kind of like searching for answers, trying to understand. Yeah, not quite there with what happened. I'm trying to figure that out. Like that's something that doesn't, I think, bode well for the Celtics. They've got two games left potentially, which means I have to come out here to San Francisco again if they win game six. And wouldn't it be just like them to win game six? I was just joking around with some people over here. They say, so what do you think is going to happen in game six? So I think they're going to win game six by 40, the way they're playing, the way this season goes, because why not? But that's what they do. This is the perfect setup for the Celtics to, you know, Ime walks in there and he looks discombobulated and he's saying things are hard to explain. The Celtics look like crap in the first and the fourth quarters. They are now looking like, hey, this is the first time they've lost two games in a row, like legitimately lost two games in a row in months. Everything looks bad. Everything looks bleak. So, of course, the Celtics, of course, it feels like they're going to go in there in game six and win like handily. Because that's what they do. They, whenever you think you've got them figured out, they do something different. But I'll tell you what, I don't know what Ime has in store for these guys, but whatever it is, I feel like he's going to figure something out, even though he didn't seem like he was ready to figure anything out. It's not the most encouraging thing to hear when he's saying it's hard to explain. But I still feel like the way the Celtics team is going to go, this is going seven, which means I'm going to be back here in San Francisco. I'll be honest. I don't like San Francisco. It's not a great city. So that's my opinion. Sorry, San Francisco Bay Area folks. Not really a fan. So I'll come back and we'll discuss some of the more individual performances and wrap this up from San Francisco. First, let's talk about Rock Auto. You know, there are a million cars out there, different makes and models. And it's impossible for your local chain store to stock up on everything. If I'm driving an SUV and you're driving a little electric and there's, you know, four different models of all of our things, how can they possibly stock everything? So that's why you want Rock Auto, because they're going to have everything in stock and they're going to have a variety of prices. So if you're looking to save some money or if you're looking to get the best possible part, whatever it is, they'll have it at Rock Auto. Don't bother spending 30 to 50 to 100% more on a part from a dealership or a chain store. Rock Auto is a family business. They've been doing this for over 20 years, serving do-it-yourselfers. And no matter how complicated the piece, no matter how simple the piece, it's all there at rockauto.com. So if you need new wipers or if you need a new fuel pump, it's all there. And people have been telling me how much money they've saved at Rock Auto. So I encourage you to do the same thing. Go to rockauto.com. When you do buy something, I feel like you would buy something if you go, make sure you write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box. That is how they know we sent you. Just write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box. You're going to get the best prices on whatever it is that you're looking for. It's an amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. So the Celtics, I can only think of Robert Williams as having a decent game here. 10 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, but not his typical game. I don't even think that it was a great game from him. It was a decent game. I don't think anybody else on the Celtics had a good game, even though Jason Tatum, I'm surprised, 27 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 50% shooting, 55.5% from three. That all sounds good, but 4 turnovers, minus 13 on the night, and only 2 of 6 from the line. Ime after the game, another thing that he said was fatigue. Fatigue is setting in, and you know, they got nothing from their bench. When the Celtics get nothing from their bench, too much to ask these guys to carry the load. You know, Tatum plays 44 and a half minutes. Jaylen Brown plays 44 minutes. You know, it's a 48 minute game. That's a lot of minutes to be playing NBA basketball. It's too much. The Celtics got nothing at all from their bench. They had 4 points from their bench, non-garbage time minutes. That's it. They were outscored 33 to 10 on their in bench points. Six of those points, there was a three from Luke Kornet and three free throws from Aaron Nesmith. And that's it. 3 points apiece in garbage time for those guys. That's 6 points. So those two guys outscored the rest of the Celtics bench in a minute 19 of garbage time. It's just not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. The Celtics absolutely need to get other contributions. Derek White did nothing. 1 point. Grant Williams had a three-point play. Can't do that. Can't just have 4 points from these guys. Peyton Pritchard played 4 minutes, which 0 of 3. If the guys off the bench don't have it, then the Celtics just aren't going to win. The counting numbers look okay. Marcus Smart, 7 of 15. He had 20 points, 3 of 6, 3 of 4 from the line. But he had a bunch of bad turnovers, and I think he got caught up in the officiating as well. He really did get caught up in a lot of the officiating. He got called for a technical foul. I don't know what happened on that tech. He says, I saw him talking to Tony Brothers, who didn't call the tech. Somebody, the other official did. And he said, I'm talking to my teammate, Tony. So I don't know what he said to trigger that technical foul, but you know, he was caught up in the officiating as much as anybody and talking to multiple officials over and over and over and over again. Just not gonna be enough to win when you're so distracted by the officiating. And yes, Clay did extend the arm, but at the same time, you know, that's a tough spot. You know, he really tried to sell that foul, and they don't call it. Now Clay is sitting there taking a warm-up three-pointer. Tough spot there. And only 2 assists. And I know the Celtics probably, you know, I want to see what the potential assists were, but you know, Marcus puts up some points and he hit some shots, and you know, there were stretches where he was good, but overall, you know, he's got to be the guy that keeps his head. Somebody's got to keep their head here. And I don't think anybody in the Celtics really did. Al Horford after the game said, not our best moment. He admitted it. Like, this is not our best moment. We got too caught up in that. I think the fourth quarter was just too caught up in the officiating, and your focus has to be on playing basketball, whether the officials are making the right calls or not. Doesn't matter. Because I thought early in the game, I thought the Celtics were getting a fine whistle. I thought early in the game, the Celtics were good. I mean, Draymond fouled out. Draymond was in foul trouble most of the night. Looney was in foul trouble. I didn't see early on, I thought everything was fine. And then the Celtics just got too wrapped up mentally in that. But the bench has to be better no matter what. Jaylen Brown has to be better no matter what. 18 points, but 5 of 18 shooting. He came out aggressive but cold, and he just kept trying and trying and trying. And at some point, it flipped into pressing, and it just, a bad game from Jaylen Brown. He had 5 turnovers. The turnovers was, you know, think about this. Celtics end up losing by 10, but really it's 16 because you take the 6 points in garbage time. Who knows what it would have been? So it's like, let's say it's a 16 point game. We'll give them the garbage time minutes, the garbage time points back. Well, the Celtics had 22 points off of their 18 turnovers. So they lost that battle by 13. So the Celtics, the Warriors only turned it over six times for nine Celtics points. So 13 points there. And then you add 10 missed free throws, 21 of 31. So the Celtics left 10 points. They're outscored by 13. And then you got another 10 points that controllable by making your free throws. And well, now you're 23 points. That, you know, it's a 16 point game. If you don't turn the ball over and you make your free throws, then right there, it's a different game. Just with that. Forget all the other stuff. Just with that, the Celtics are there. Now, obviously, there are going to be turnovers. They're going to be points off turnovers, right? No team hits 100% of their free throws all the time. So it's going to be a little bit of a, you know, that's not all of those points don't make the entire difference. But point is, it's a 16-point game. You don't turn the ball over. And not only are you not giving up those points off of turnovers, some of those will be points that you score on your own. Instead of turning it over, you're gonna make some of those baskets. So 18 turnovers for 22 points, you take the 22 points off the board. Let's just say in general, take the 22 points off the board. And then of those 18 turnovers, how many of those get converted into actual buckets? 5, 6, 7? You know, you shoot 40%. So if you add, even if they're all like two-pointers, 10, 12 points. So you take the 22 off, and then you add 10 or 12 to your total. It's 32, 34-point swing. So then, obviously, you're going to say, well, there are going to be points off turnovers. Do it like the Warriors did. So 9 points off a turnover. So now you're looking at a instead of a 34-point swing, it's a 26-point swing or a 20-point swing. Point is, you lose by, we'll call it 16. I know they lost by 10, but let's say it's a 16-point game. That alone allows the Celtics to be in the game. Turnovers, lack of poise, lack of good decision-making. It's all part of, you know, the fatigue is there, as Ime said after the game. The poise of not, you know, the Warriors being the team that's been here and the Celtics just not having that experience in the moment and everything being magnified and the pressure of all of that. It's just all coming into play here. And it's going to be interesting to see how they do in game six. Like I said, I think they win game six just out of spite. But I do think they win game six. I don't think they're going to go out losing three in a row. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to come back here, come all the way back to San Francisco and win a game on the road. I said Celtics in seven. We'll see. But boy. The Warriors, this was the best the Warriors have looked. I really think this was the game where the Warriors came out assertive. This was the most complete game, I think, the Warriors. And Steph Curry was not good. I think this was the best Warriors game because you didn't have to rely on Curry getting 43 points. But from the Celtics' perspective, again, you give up 104 points. That's less than you gave up before. You know, they've given up 106, 107, 108, 100, 104. That's defensively, it's actually not that bad. Defensively, even though Wiggins had a great game and Poole and Clay, and, you know, Clay's waking up, that's not great. But defensively, you know, 104 points, that should be okay. The Celtics should be able to score 110. One of the commenters on Boston Sports Journal put it out there. 110 is your magic number. There's no reason why the Celtics couldn't have found 16 more points out there. It's very, very easy to find 16 more points for the Celtics just by them not turning the ball over. Actually, you can knock 4 points off, just knock 4 points off of Golden State's total with the turnovers and add a few layups. Add a made shot from Grant Williams, add some free throws. It's very easy to get to that point. Very easy, but the Celtics, it's all mental now. It's all mental. This game is no longer about adjustments or anything like that. It's all mental for the Celtics. We'll see if they can do it. I will be here flying back Tuesday, and then Wednesday there's a practice. Thursday there's game six. Larry O'Brien Trophy will be in the building at the TD Garden. Will it be handed out, or will it be packed up and sent back here to San Francisco to be handed out? Season's almost over. Let's see if the Celtics have another couple of games in them. I'll be here to talk about it on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Make sure you're subscribed, free and available wherever podcasts exist. Watch the show on YouTube. We've crossed the 6,900 subscriber mark. We're trying to get to 7,500 by the end of this, by the end of the parade, whichever parade it is. Hopefully it's the Celtics parade. If you are a subscriber, please share the podcast. Tell your friends, tell everybody they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.